Network. Pro Football Full Circle.
You know, whatever's best for the team, I'm here for it. Just it's one of those things, whatever's best for the team, you got to get behind that and be a part of that. And I think that makes for you as the best player you could be too. So, you know, it's all tied together. We're all in this thing together, and, you know, we'll see where it goes.
I think we got a pretty good idea, like I said, all along. I think our team does, and we're pretty good with it as long as I can keep surviving press conferences.
How's that going?
I'm all right with it. It's just trying to be respectful.
The preseason is over, baby. We are on to week number one. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz taking you around the world of the NFL. A lot to get into today. Talk about those quarterback battles in San Francisco, New England. A lot of breaking news. J.K. Dobbins going down with an ACL injury over the weekend. But, George, I want to start the show today with these reports that I keep hearing about the Miami Dolphins. Agent Drew Rosenhaus was interviewed over the weekend. He said the potential possibility to have Houston Texan quarterback Deshaun Watson available and on the Miami Dolphin roster by week number one. He thinks it's more than 50-50, and I want to get your take because that is breaking news in Miami.
Listen, I think they can say this all they want. I don't think any trade is happening anytime soon. I mean, we all heard what Houston wants, right? They want three number ones. They want two number twos. They want your firstborn. They want this. They want that. Who's giving that up, which is a hell of a negotiation, when you have no idea when or if he'll be able to play, right? I mean, think about that. He could be, he's got the criminal problems, right? That's going to go through the course, and that could take a long time. And then even that, if that's the let's say that's just, he doesn't go to jail, doesn't go anything like that, he's going to get suspended. It's just a matter of how long. Is it going to be 4 games, 6 games, 8 games a season? And you got to give up that? You have to get some kind of pick protection, which we heard over the weekend, and that's what all these teams want. We heard, the Dolphins, the Panthers, the Broncos. There was another team in there, too, that was that they mentioned. These teams are going to want pick protection. Is Houston going to be willing to give that up? Well, hey, you end up trading Watson for nothing. Or, you know, for a couple third-round picks. If he gets suspended, or if he gets found guilty in the court, so I don't see this happening. Certainly not by week one. I think there has to be some more clarity. The only way I see this happening is if Houston says, you know what, I don't care what we get. I just want to get him off our roster. You know, I let him be someone else's problem.
Well, they're holding four quarterbacks right now, as we know, right? That's not the issue. I guess the issue for me is the preseason's wrapped up. Right. And if you're the Miami Dolphins and more importantly, head coach Brian Flores, you obviously don't want this circulating around your team as you have a week one matchup against New England. Right. That's a divisional game. You want to have the team focused over the next few weeks for that battle. Right. So the biggest thing is I don't personally, as a Dolphin fan, don't think it's coming from Flores. Or Chris Greer, the GM. It's coming more from the top, right? Stephen Ross, because we talked about it over the weekend in the sense of the GM is not making that call. There's too much risk with Deshaun Watson right here, right now. So this is all Stephen Ross putting all his chips into the middle of the table and saying, you know what? I'll assume responsibility. I'm ready to roll the dice. I want this guy on my roster with whatever the repercussions are. And as long as he doesn't go to jail, it's worth 5 total draft picks, 3 number ones and 2 number twos. I want this guy because from a talent perspective, he is head and shoulders from where Tua is right here, right now.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is not coming from any GM because let's face it, you have to get permission for this. There's no way you're doing this. I don't care if you have full autonomy, full authority. There's no way you're taking out Deshaun Watson without the owner. The guy signed the check saying, yeah, it's okay, go ahead. And you're right. It only takes one owner to say, ah, go for it, to get this done. But it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense on so many levels here. Unless they are, all right, but Tua is not the guy. We just know he's not the guy. You can't judge him off last year. That's not fair. Right, because he had the injury. Then he has no mini camps. Training camp was truncated. So you can't judge him off that. You sort of can judge him now, I guess. He had a full minicamp, full training camp. Maybe you know, okay, we were wrong. He's not the guy. But even so, you're going to give up everything it's going to take to acquire him, Deshaun. And then you have no idea when he's going to be able to play for you. Not to mention the PR nightmare it's going to be. I mean, every group on the planet is going to come out against you. So this is it's just crazy for me. Unless the price is like, just take them. If they're lying about the three number ones and two number twos. But if that's the price, that's what you're going to give up.
I don't know if they're lying about that. I mean,
no, they're not. Of course they're not lying about it. This guy's a transcendent player. He's a top 10 player in the NFL. There's no way they're just giving him up.
We're not talking about, I don't believe, Tua in the sense of ability maybe on the field. I think it's deeper than that. I think it's a maturity aspect. The fact that Flores went to Ryan Fitzpatrick multiple times last year against Denver, against Las Vegas, to try and pull those games out, that shows enough confidence in Tua. For whatever reason, whether it be his big play ability or lack of, or his mental aptitude to make those players around him better. Clearly, there is something that the coaching staff doesn't like, that the owner is going and willing to give up five draft picks to get one of the best players in the NFL. Because if this is your quarterback of the future, if you feel that you can groom him and cultivate his talent over the next couple of years, you're not willing to deal three number ones. So there is something, I believe, that Brian Flores doesn't like into his game, and maybe he wants to ship him out. And we'll see how that takes place over the next few weeks. We're just getting started. George and I will talk about the New England Patriots quarterback battle. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, talking about all the breaking news in the NFL. We left off talking about the Deshaun Watson news of the Miami Dolphins potentially bringing Deshaun Watson in prior to week one against the New England Patriots. The reports were three number ones and two number twos. George, before we transition to the Pats quarterback situation, I did want to get your take in the sense of, do you agree that Flores sees something in terms of Tua? Why would this be surfacing? I understand it's definitely Ross, okay? But at the same time, Ross wouldn't be rolling the dice just to bring in Deshaun Watson if Brian Flores and the offensive staff, along with Chris Greer, were saying, no, Tua's our guy. We can coach him up over the next couple of years.
It could be that, what you're insinuating there, that Flores doesn't think Tua is the guy. Or it could just be the fact that, hey, Joe Lisi, if you're the coach of a team and I tell you I'm the owner, hey, would you like Deshaun Watson on your team? Well, who cares what the quarterback is currently? Of course you're going to say yes, right? I mean, no matter how glowing you may or
may... But wait a second. We're talking about a quarterback that has multiple off-the-field issues.
But obviously you won't want to take that on.
6 last year. Right?
You're willing to take...
So this has to get Brian Flores' approval to some degree. Even as bad as Stephen Ross wants him, I don't think that Stephen Ross, up until this point at least in terms of his ownership, is going to say, okay, I want Deshaun Watson like almost like a Daniel Snyder type where it's my way or no way. You don't think he's consulting with Greer and Flores in any capacity, saying if I bring this guy in, is this the type of player you want in the locker room?
Well, you would hope he is, but I can't guarantee who is. Do you think Jerry Jones cares what anybody underneath him now says? Daniel Snyder? You know, there are lots of owners who don't care. And it's not like, honestly, I like Flores, but it's not like he has any kind of equity where, if he says no, you're not going to get him. He is not Bill Belichick, anyone of that ilk where he has that kind of collateral where he can say, no, I don't want him. And they're like, okay, fine. You're the man. He's not that guy. So even if Flores was against it and Ross wanted him, I don't know if Flores could stop it. That being said, listen, I'm just being honest here. If I'm Flores, and I may like Tua, but if the owner comes to me and says, hey, I'm thinking about trading for Watson, I'll take the heat, would you want him? I'm going to say yes. Everything is true, and I certainly wouldn't like the guy, but he's going to make my job a hell of a lot better. Maybe I get another contract, and I get to go on a run here, and I get big-time dollars. It's just self-preservation here. So I have a hard time seeing Flores go, no, I don't want Deshaun Watson. I have a hard time seeing anybody who honestly answers the question saying no. You know, no matter how much you object to what he may have done, right? Until he's proven guilty, that might be different. But right now, you can always fall on the fact, well, he's innocent until proven guilty. Maybe none of this is true. You know, 22 well, in the whole line.
I agree with that, but it's a long way away from being finalized. Unless there's breaking news that we don't know about in the next week.
It's not going to be finalized.
Exactly. So that's my point. And I've said, as a Dolphin fan, I would trade half the team knowing if the off-the-field issues were behind Deshaun Watson, I'd be all in. All in. And I'd still be maybe 10% all in if you could tell me, okay, he's going to be suspended, but he's not going to do jail time. You can't bring in a player of his caliber if off the field issues, including criminal charges, are found guilty on any level. That is just such a black mark on the organization as a whole, especially with the young head coach. You're trying to change the culture of this organization. I mean, it's been a while since Miami had that marquee quarterback since Dan Marino. I mean, think about all the bums that we've had. We've had Cutler. Chad Pennington was good. He was not elite. Jay Fiedler. I mean, the list goes on and on about the lack of production, elite production at the quarterback position. And now you have potentially a top five player, but he's only a top five player if the off-the-field issues are behind him.
Well, they're not going to be behind him. It's not anytime soon. We know that. This whole season is going to come down to this. I imagine next offseason, this is still going to be going on. It's not like he's dealing with one case here, all right, where you can pay it off at any time. You know, it goes away, it's done. You know, the Trevor Bauer thing in baseball and Deshaun Watson in football, two different things. Bauer's got one complainant, which, like I said, I imagine if he wanted to pay it off, it would go away. But Deshaun Watson is 22. You can't pay off 22. So this is going to be in the headlines a while here. So that's why it's so difficult to see any team making this trade. Yeah, it's not going to come at a discount. You're going to take on all, you're going to trade all the way these picks. Maybe some players, too, for all we know. Maybe a Herschel Walker type deal. And then you're going to take on the PR nightmare this is going to be. And it will be. There's no doubt it will be. And you don't have no idea when he can play. Don't even know if he can play in 2021. You know, he's going to get suspended, right? Ezekiel Elliott got suspended for much less than what's going on with Deshaun Watson. All right, so we're talking minimum, I would think, 8 games. That's minimum. It could be 12, could be a season before he can come back. And it's before we know what's going on in both civil court and criminal court. So good luck here. I don't see this happening anytime soon. I think there'll be a lot of talk about it, but I just don't see anybody consummating. It doesn't make any sense unless you're getting a discount, which apparently they're not. It doesn't make any sense to consummate this deal right now.
Well, I think right now, in terms of this being brought up with about 2 weeks left before week number one, before the Dolphins go on the road to face the New England Patriots, this could have an adverse effect on this team. I mean, they're already underdogs in this matchup, catching 3 points on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. You look at the Patriots, they did get a 22-20 victory over the New York Giants over the weekend. Cam Newton did not play that well, but backup Mac Jones stepped in, threw for over 150 yards, did throw for a touchdown pass as well. He showed like he was involved in this offense, had a good grasp. I mean, there's been no mention about the quarterback situation right now, but if I was Bill Belichick, if I was Josh McDaniels, I'm going with Mac Jones. Over the last couple of games, he looks like the go-to guy, and you would have to say for week number one, no matter who starts, you don't want this circulating for the team in terms of bringing their attention to Deshaun Watson. If you're a Miami Dolphin fan, early on, it looks like the Pats deserve to be a 3-point favorite.
I agree with you that it's certainly a distraction for Miami, what's going on, by the way. This is not good for them. Not at all, because every question is going to be about this. You know, Deshaun Watson, what's going on? Hey, do you want Deshaun Watson? Do you think Deshaun Watson will be good for your team? Do you think he's better than Tua? Do you think he'll be, every question is going to be about that from the media. So it's certainly a distraction. As for New England, I mean, Mac Jones looked great. He has looked great. You look at the numbers, though. The numbers between Cam and Mac and Cam are about even. You're about even.
That was
slightly
more like the second game he stepped up, Cam, right? And Mac Jones basically played the second half. The other day, I mean, Newton was basically threw one pick in basically 6 attempts.
The numbers are slightly in favor of Jones, but the numbers for Newton aren't terrible. I said this before. You know, all five of them, they're all going to play. They're all going to start no later than Halloween, and that's really a late over. All right, it'll be well under that. Do I think Mac Jones is going to start week one? No, but I think it'll be shortly thereafter. You know, I just do. He looks like the real deal. The Patriots look like they got a gift from God when he fell to 15. All right, that they didn't have to trade up to get him. A lot of us had Jones mocked in New England anyway, but we thought they would have to trade up in the top 10. Maybe can give up some more collateral to do that. They didn't have to do that. They waited there. Their guy fell to them. I still think it's going to be more in September where he starts, just because I just think Bill wants to give Cam another shot. You know, I think it's kind of silly. I think Mac Jones is the guy here, but I sort of get it. So I think it'll be somewhere in September that he doesn't start week one, that Cam will prove that he's just not the guy anymore. He hasn't been for years anyway, but I think Bill needs to see it in a real game to believe it, and then they'll move on to Mac Jones. But I'll say this again. Once the regular season starts, I don't know if it matters. There's no weapons on this team. There are zero weapons on this team. And I think they're going to have a hard time moving the ball with anybody. If Tom Brady was there, they might have a hard time moving the ball. So I think they're going to have issues no matter who the quarterback is.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Cam Newton against the Giants, 2 of 5, 10 yards and a pick. Mac Jones, 10 of 14, 156, one touchdown. But you're right. I think when this offense looks much different with Mac Jones at the helm, the ability to throw the ball deep and vertically gives the New England Patriots an opportunity to at least score points against some of the better defenses in the AFC East. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFC quarterback battles, also delve into the J.K. Dobbins injury. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation about the NFL quarterback battles, talked about the situation in New England and Miami. Going to turn to the NFC. San Francisco got a dominating home win over the weekend over the Las Vegas Raiders. They laid 5.5, won that ballgame 34-10. Jimmy Garoppolo, limited duty, 4 of 7 completions, 64 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Trey Lance did come in mop-up duty, completed 6 of 13 passes, George, 46 yards. We know that Shanahan really hasn't mentioned the starter for week number one against Detroit. Right now, San Fran is a 7.5-point road favorite on the road in Detroit, on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. But from what I've seen so far, there's no way you could go to Trey Lance. Inconsistent still in the passing game, has showed glimpses of explosiveness, but if you're going to start him week number one, you really are taking a risk. You got to go with their veteran, in my opinion. Jimmy Garoppolo gives your team the best opportunity to at least be undefeated in the month of September.
Agreed. I think when I say with all these rookie quarterbacks that they're all going to be playing by Halloween, which is around week 8, it's because of this situation. I think this one might be the last quarterback to start, Lance.
I don't think he starts, to be honest with you, this year. I don't know if he gets the start, because if San Fran is in contention, let's just say, right, with their win total of 10.5 for the year on FanDuel, they have the type of defense where they can carry them for the most part. So let's just say they're a game out of the divisional lead, or they're a game out of a wild card. I think they'll stick with Garoppolo unless he throws 20 picks by midseason.
Once again, all history points against you. That all these rookie quarterbacks start. You don't waste a year. You have to make up your judgment on these guys too quickly. That's why they're all going to play. This is one, though, is the toughest one, because Jimmy G is a serviceable quarterback, right? He's not someone who's...
I think he's better than that. I got to be honest with you. I know that people knock Jimmy G, but the guy led you to a Super Bowl. I mean, how many quarterbacks have been able to do that? I mean, only one team wins every year. I mean, we're not comparing him to Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes, for that matter. But, I mean, if we're just looking at attributes, he is a good enough quarterback to take your team to a Super Bowl.
Well, did he take it, or did the defense take it? That's going to be the argument there, and I think we all know the defense took him there. He played some good games at times, but he's not going to win you a Super Bowl. That's the issue. He's not that guy. He'll complete some passes, what he does. He'll get hurt. That's also what he does. Right? His odds of him playing, even if he was the starter all year, the odds of him playing 16 games aren't good anyway. Yeah, he just doesn't do that. He gets hurt a lot, generally in September, for what it's worth for that. So I don't think I'd be surprised if Jimmy G started all 16 games and Lance was healthy behind him. It's just a matter of time. It's just what goes on here. It's just what goes on with the rookie quarterbacks. You have to make your judgment on them so quick. You're going to pick up that now, you know, that extra year, excuse me, that extra year of their contract. You can't wait. You can't have a redshirt year. You just can't. Right. They wouldn't have drafted. They wouldn't have moved up and taken Lance third overall if they wanted to wait, or if they were willing to wait. But their schedule is soft, right? You open up against Detroit. We know they're terrible. Philadelphia has their issues. Your first home game's against Green Bay. You've done very well against them lately. Seattle, Arizona, tougher than a bye week. I think that's when it happens.
Wow. I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't know if you need to roll the dice on Trey Lance right here. Now, that being said, I think they overpaid for him in number three overall. I can't argue in terms of that factor. You did that. That was your scouting department. You saw something in Trey Lance. If you watch college football, guy completed 66% of his passes at North Dakota State, had the best talent around them, like the Alabama of the SCS level, against mediocre competition. If you can't complete 70% of your passes, that is a concern on the next level, and we're seeing it here in the NFL game. I mean, 6 of 13 is not going to cut it in terms of going to this guy. And now he's been inconsistent now back-to-back weeks in terms of the preseason. So how can you say, okay, it's going to get better by week 8, week 9? I mean, if that's the actual progression of Trey Lance, it's going to be a lot longer than week 8, week 9. It's going to look more like 2022 until he can get the understanding about the game speed down and the mechanics. Because right now, in terms of his game, George, he's a raw prospect. He is a project at this point in his career. There is nothing that he has showed me that you say, yes, right now he is a clear-cut starter in the NFL.
I doubt any of these rookie quarterbacks comes in and is gangbusters. Doubt it very much. So therefore, Lance is in the same category as all the other guys. San Fran probably has the safety net of that defense. They don't need him to be gangbusters. That's the issue.
But then what are you gaining from him? But then what are you
gaining from him? That next year won't be a disaster.
Yeah, but
next year you have to go through these pains.
Right.
Maybe next year your defense is
not
as good.
Built for next year, are they? They're built for this year. I mean, the whole problem with San Francisco.
Once again, that's sort of playing into this, though. Because next year you may need a quarterback, a guy who can throw the ball, so you need to get the rookie warts or your rookie problems out of the way now, when your defense is so great that they can cover for him. And you're hoping, or you're assuming, maybe hoping/assuming that by the last quarter of the season, going into the playoffs, now Lance is fine. Right? He's gotten out a lot of the rookie bugaboos here, and we go on from there. I think the thing is this. They just don't view Garoppolo as that big of an upgrade. That he makes his own mistakes. He's a game manager. He's not someone who can lead you to victory all by himself if the defense isn't playing well. Lance, at some point, will be able to do that. I don't know when that point is. It may not be this year. It may not be next year.
All right, but maybe that's the 23. Whole issue. But that is the issue that we're talking about, because they do have a last place schedule. They are set at 10.5 on most books because of the schedule and because of the injuries for last year. So to say that you're going to use this year as a rebuild and compare this season with Trey Lance is the same type of situation with Justin Fields in Chicago, where they have a garbage team around him, basically, and a garbage head coach. You can't say that. I mean, it is win now for the San Francisco 49ers. We know that Jimmy Garoppolo, okay, he's not elite. I agree with that. But he is a game manager and puts your team in a position to win ball games. And with this type of schedule, you have an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl this year. You can't say that, oh, Jimmy G can't lead them there. He can't win a game. What have you seen from Trey Lance that suggests, okay, he's going to lead you to a Super Bowl appearance this year? If the answer is I have questions or concerns, then you cannot go to Trey Lance this year in any capacity unless the team is sub 500.
See, you're thinking short-term thinking. Most coaches who are securing their jobs will think long-term thinking. You don't want next year to be a complete bust.
I think most of us are in agreement.
But you have to seize the opportunity, though, too, George. You can't miss your window.
You keep assuming Jimmy G's this quarterback who can do anything. He's not that much better than Trey Lance now.
We're making Jimmy Garoppolo out to be just a like Kyle Laletta for the Giants. I mean, come on now.
No one's saying that, but he's quarterback is deep in the NFL.
Well, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl for the Ravens. What's the
difference? But why did he win? He won because of defense, not Trent Dilfer. I'm sure the Ravens might tell you we could have won with Lance too.
No,
and that's what the Niners are going to be thinking here, that they can win with either quarterback. By the way, I would think Garoppolo is better than Dilfer.
Exactly, but that's my point.
But all history tells you that they're not going
to
wait. All history tells they're not going
to
wait. They can't wait. It's just not the way the system's designed right now.
You should have taken them three overall. You should have just waited this year, taken another piece of the puzzle that gives you a better opportunity to solidify a Super Bowl berth, and worry about the quarterback in 2022 if you had that many concerns. I mean, Kyle Shanahan, as an offensive guru, had to know that Trey Lance was a raw product. He had to see that on film. You can't tell me at North Dakota State he wowed you. Oh, yeah, every 8 of 10 passes he completed. That's what Mac Jones did at the best in terms of the best competition in the SEC, 76% completion percentage. Justin Fields tore it up, 70% completion percentage against some of the best defenses in college football. You reached up and you got this guy number 3 overall because he was a raw talent?
Well, that's a different argument. I would agree with you there. I didn't understand the trade there. Not for what you're talking about. Remember, they didn't even know what quarterback they were going to get. They had the number. They traded for number 3. They knew Lawrence was going number 1, but at that point, no one knew who the Jets were going to take. All right, so that I will agree with that trade made little sense to me when you're giving up all that kind of draft pick capital and you didn't know who you're going to get, which means it meant you were happy with the other guy. You were happy with Lance or you were happy with Wilson. You know, you didn't care which one. Weird, but I could certainly be on board with you there. When it comes to the rookie quarterbacks, once again, you just go by history. They all play. It's just a matter of time. I do think Lance will be the longest one or the furthest one out because Jimmy G is a decent NFL quarterback. But Jimmy G is not holding anybody off. He's not holding anybody off. They're gonna need to see Lance play. They're going to want to see Lance play. Yes, it would be easier if Garoppolo sucks. You know, it'll just be easier to make that transition because you're right. You know, you're going to try and make that transition in there 4-1. No matter how Jimmy G is playing, it's going to be tough to do that. And the schedule, like I said, the schedule is not easy, by the way. Even
no,
after that
bye
week,
last place schedule they play Cincinnati.
Last place
right?
schedule play... only gets you a couple of games. People think this is a big thing. It's not a monstrous thing. And it's, who finished last year means nothing. You think anyone's happy about playing San Fran this year because they were in last place last year? No, that last place schedule is it's a thing, but it's a minor thing. Their schedule, their division is rough, so that alone is going to be a problem. You're facing Green Bay on your schedule. Indianapolis is on this schedule. All right, this is not going to be a fun schedule. Minnesota, looking at this. Tennessee's on this schedule. So this is not some cake schedule they have. And nobody in the West, whether you play last place, third place, second place, first, is going to have any kind of great schedule because of your division you're in. That's because they're going to get a couple of easier games. That's all it comes down to, a couple of easier games.
Well, let's look at the NFC Championship odds based off that assessment, right? Tampa Bay is the front runner at +3, 3-1 in terms of 300-1. Green Bay at 5.5-1, and then San Fran at 6.5-1. You feel confident with Jimmy G or Trey Lance to get there at 650?
No, I don't think that team. I'm still taking the Bucks, so no.
When we come back, we'll be talking about the AFC odds. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is. We're coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the NFL quarterback battles, left off with the situation in San Francisco between Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Which way will Kyle Shanahan move for that week 1 battle against the Detroit Lions? George and I are in agreement that they do go to the veteran that week one matchup. If he fails, we'll have to see. It will be a work in progress. Personally, I believe they hold off the 2021 season, wait till next year, but we'll see how it plays out in the Bay Area for the 49ers this coming season. Want to talk about Trevor Lawrence. Dynamic performance on the road against your Dallas Cowboys. They laid 3.5 yesterday and dominated that matchup. 34-14, completed 11 of 12 passes, 2 touchdowns, well over 100 yards. Look good, George. I got to be honest with you. He looked confident. He looked composed. And I still am holding true that I believe that Urban Meyer, the Jacksonville Jaguars, will get through their 6.5 win total this coming season.
Yeah, I think your college love is showing here. I think you might be the only person who believes this. This is not a good team. Lawrence did look great yesterday. Granted, it was against second and third teamers. Dallas sat everybody, but he looked good. He looked really, Chenault looked good too. That's once again not a surprise. But good for them. Good for them. I think it might be the last good feeling they have for quite a while here. I think they're going to be in trouble. And this is not a surprise. You can't fix everything during one off season. You just can't. Most of these teams, the Jets with Wilson, Jags with Lawrence. The Chicago Bears eventually would field, so that's just frustrating. This season's about your quarterback, you know, getting him comfortable, making him your franchise guy, you know, making him that guy, eventually getting the weapons around him and growing with him. You're not competing for anything this year. You're just not. All right, they lost that team for the year already. I thought that was a horrible draft pick anyway, but they have some issues here. The offensive line is going to be something that's talked about all year long with Lawrence, all right, about, you know, protecting him. Yeah, not that he's going to turn into Carr, David Carr from years ago, the number one pick where he got hit, you know, 9,000 times and never seemed to get over that. But develop him. That's all it is. Develop him and develop the players, the system, and everything you need around him for him to be that guy so you can take off in a year, 2 years away.
Well, I'll tell you this, just from an offensive philosophy perspective, okay, if we're looking big picture in terms of how this offense might look in terms of Jacksonville this year, and a couple of ways we can go, right? Let's not forget, you know, people just remember Urban Meyer from his days in Ohio State. Prior to that, he had Alex Smith at Utah, okay? He is an offensive mind. He is a great game planner in that regard. And everybody will look to James Robinson. I know he's one of your personal favorites as being that 1,000-yard rusher, maybe especially now since Travis Etienne is out of that lineup, you know, the lack of ability in terms of having that third down back, you know, to really dump it off to. But when you just look at the team mentality as a whole yesterday, George, it wasn't just Trevor Lawrence. They completed 32 of 40 passes. I mean, they chucked it the other day against Dallas, right? So if we're looking big picture, and we know that Trevor Lawrence, in terms of his passing prop on FanDuel after the ETN injury, it was 41.50.5. They knocked it down to 41.00. So he needs 41.01 to get that number this year. If you're going to chuck it 40 times a game and really throw away the running game, you have a good shot to number one, score points. So overs this year for Jacksonville could be a play in terms of the gaming aspect. And then the other aspect as well is maybe you don't look to James Robinson, but we look to some of these receivers going over their total this year.
I don't love James Robinson, by the way. I didn't like the draft pick of Etienne. I like the fact that what I keep saying about Robinson is this. He's an average to slightly above average running back. All right, so he's not great or anybody like that, but I didn't like the fact they spent the first round pick on Etienne. When you have other major areas of need, you could survive at Robinson for a year or two. And running back's also easier to acquire. You don't need to spend a first round pick on it. We've seen that in the NFL now. So that's what I didn't like there. I just thought you had so many other areas of need. Why are you getting another running back when you have Robinson, who's at least serviceable, solid running back? I wasn't worried about him. As for Jacksonville, I know you think they're going to do better than get their over here. Their schedule is brutal. If they don't start out hot, they're done. They're done. They start out easy.
I'm going to say it right now, 4-0 for Urban Meyer right out of the gate.
All right, that's not going to happen. All right, you can say it all you want. It's not going to happen. There's maybe three teams that are going to go 4-0 in the NFL, and they ain't one of them. All right, but their schedule is easier. They've opened up against Houston. I know it's at Houston. I got to think that's a win. It better be a win. You know, if not, then forget about it. You see, it's done right after week one. Denver's not going to be easy. I know they're not great either, but that defense is going to confuse the hell out of Lawrence, and they're going to come after him. That's going to be a rough game. Arizona, you're giving them wins against Denver and Arizona. Arizona, they might be the worst team in the NFC West, but they're still an above 500 team. They're going to go 8-9-9-8, and you're giving them a win on that. Cincinnati, okay, but it's at Cincinnati. Cincinnati can score points.
Here's the thing.
It could happen. But after that, Joe, when's their next win coming after that?
Well, they Tennessee, play Houston
Miami,
again,
Seattle, Buffalo,
in
Indianapolis, San Fran, Atlanta, L.A., Tennessee,
Atlanta,
Houston again, New York.
Arthur
Good luck.
Smith, Atlanta. Here's what I'm banking on, okay? And I know Urban wants to win. And I don't know him personally, but I know the guy's a competitor. He's not going on in there and tarnishing his reputation by just going in and laying up. He's going to take chances. He's going to have that team motivated. He wants to prove that a college coach can win on the NFL level. He wants to be that Pete Carroll. He knows Nick Saban, the best college coach, legendary if not ever, couldn't cut it when my Dolphins 10-6 was the best record he got them to. Urban wants to showcase that. And when you look at just a coaching advantage, yes. Does he have a coaching advantage over Culley? Absolutely. Does he have a coaching advantage over Zach Taylor and Cliff Kingsbury? Absolutely. Does he have a coaching advantage as a head coach over Vic Fangio? Without a doubt. So that's what I'm looking at in terms of, I know the players win the games, but at the end of the day, coaching matters to a degree. And those chumps, in terms of those head coaches, I know Urban is head and shoulders over every single one of them from a coaching aspect. The team will be prepared, and that's what I'm banking on. From the gambling aspect and the team's intensity in those four games, I know that Jacksonville is going to come to play the first month of the season.
They can say that all you want. They don't have the talent. They don't have the talent. All right, coaching will only get you so far. And I would probably agree that he's a better coach than all the guys you named. I don't think I would argue much about that. I don't have much respect for the coaches you did name. Taylor, Fangio, I think they all should be gone. Houston's a disaster. Denver has their issues. Arizona, I think, once again, Kingsbury probably top 10 person in the NFL with the most pressure on him this season, because I think if Arizona bombs, they don't make the playoffs again, or if they choke at the end of the year again, he's done. So there's a lot of pressure there. So I might give you that. I don't think Urban Meyer, by the way, didn't he have a scandal when he left, by the way? So I don't want to hear about this thing that came on.
Forget it. How about he hired Doyle, the strength coach from Iowa.
He's made a lot of mistakes.
Doyle had the off-the-field issues with Kirk Ferentz.
Right, he's very tone deaf as well here. He doesn't understand what's going on. It comes down to this. It's talent. You don't have it. Bill Belichick is not going to do well with this team. I mean, he's just not. You don't have. I mean, you could say what you want about Denver. Is there one player, one defensive player on Jacksonville, maybe Jack, that you would take over anybody on Denver? They're gonna beat up on.
Jack is definitely a physical linebacker. I mean, you know, I love the way he plays, but
Jacksonville should be very lucky to go 2-2 in their first four games. You can beat Houston,
agreed, but
you can beat
I'm
Cincinnati. There you go. And then it's done.
Can you see them outscoring teams, though? Look at their wide receivers. You talk about the defense, and we talk about Lawrence. Forget Robinson for a second. Forget the rushing attack. You have Chenault that you said is great. He was a burner at Colorado. You have DJ Chark. You have Marvin Jones. Jones a little banged up right now. But there are players there. Colin Johnson stepped up, the former Texas standout. There are a ton of depth at the wide receiver position. So when you say they can throw wide receivers at defenses each and every week and just keep coming at you 50 times a game, that is a possibility to win ball games, no? Especially in today's NFL?
If they try and get the shootouts with people, they'll get wrecked. All right. I said I like Chenault, but I did not say he's great. I do like him, though. Their receiving core is nice. It's Chark, Jones, Chenault. It's nice. You have no tight ends. I already said you're running back. I like him, but he's average to slightly above average, and you have a rookie quarterback. And let's just say a questionable offensive line. You try and get the shootout, you're going to get wrecked. I mean, all teams have this. Right? Most teams have good wide receiving core. All teams have better tight end. The Jaguars may have the worst tight end group in the NFL. So they have issues there. Your running back is solid, but not great. So there's issues here. Now, like I said, there's issues all over the place here. Yeah, that's why they're not going anywhere. They can't get the shootouts with people. They just cannot. You know, every now and then, sure, maybe things go well and they score some ball. They score 35, 38 points, but that's going to be a rarity. They don't have that kind of group. Their wide receiver is the strength right now of the team. Eventually, it'll be Lawrence. But right now, it is wide receiver. Chark, I like a bunch. Marvin Jones, solid veteran there. And Chenault, I think, is someone who's going to be more of a household name as the season goes on. And by the way, he's no fun to take down. This guy's 225 pounds. Damn. I wouldn't want to tackle him either. He'll be more of a household name as the season goes on. But that's it. That's it. You know, and will Lawrence have enough time to get the ball down the field to these guys? I don't know. I just don't know if it's going to hold up. The offense isn't there yet. They don't have that one unit that's, oh, my God. That's where we can focus on. Right now, it's wide receiver, but it's not great. It's nowhere near what Dallas has, you know, or some what a Tampa Bay has. You know, it's nowhere near that. You know, so they it's good. It's the best part of their team, but it's nowhere near top of the NFL.
The spread for week one has Jacksonville on FanDuel as a 3-point favorite on the road against Houston. Week two, they are a 2.5-point underdog to Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater at home. +2.5 at -104. So they're right there. I mean, according to the books right now, they're in each and every game, right? And then I don't have a spread for week number three when they play Arizona, but week four when they do play Cincinnati, they're a 2.5-point underdog. So basically, they're within a field goal of three out of the four games. So when we're just looking at this in terms of how the books establish them in terms of point value, it can be there. The potential is there for this team to at least be 3-1.
But aren't you saying, they're close to Houston, maybe the worst team in the NFL. They're close to Cincinnati, maybe the second worst team in the NFL. Who cares?
We're looking at, but
they're bad teams.
Because we're looking at it from their 6.5 win total on this season.
But then, fine. Where is the win coming after this, Joe? How much are they going to be down against Tennessee in week five? Miami, Seattle, Buffalo, Indianapolis, San Fran. They're not going to be a favorite again until what? Week 15?
They don't have to be a favorite. I mean,
they're not going to win a game until week 15.
I don't know.
Who are they beating? Tell me who they're beating.
Well, I'll tell you this. They'll beat Houston twice. So
I'm not saying the bad teams. Okay, don't give me the bad teams. That only gives you three wins, Joe.
All right, so who else is on their schedule? Read it down for me.
Tennessee, Miami, Seattle, Buffalo.
Tennessee, why? They can't beat the Dolphins? It's an interesting rivalry. Oh, they can't?
You're saying they're a playoff team, by the way. Come on. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
I'm a Dolphin fan, but I have no confidence.
Tennessee, Miami, Seattle, Buffalo, Indianapolis, San Fran. They're not beating any of these teams. Right. Not one.
Okay, so you're saying dead under for Jacksonville, 6.5 is way too high.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I disagree. I think they're going to be a 7-win football team at the least. We'll see how it plays out. This will be something that George and I will definitely monitor right now on FanDuel. 6.5 total, +105 to the over. I'm banking that. Go Urban Meyer. All he does is win, baby. When we come back, our week one line of the day, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we didn't really get into the J.K. Dobbins injury or how it will affect the Baltimore Ravens offense this coming season, so we might as well talk about their week one matchup on the road. It is Monday night, 4.5-point favorite against the Las Vegas Raiders. John Gruden and the crew catching at the start. It was 5. They bet it down about 2 weeks ago. It's been staying steady right there at 4.5. I still lean to the Raiders, George, but how does Dobbins' injury affect this team? And a lot of pressure now on Lamar Jackson to step up.
Dobbins is a good running back. He didn't get the love of, Derrick Henry or Ezekiel Elliott, Kamara, Barkley, whatever. As far as being that kind of guy, a true bell cow, but he was a damn good running back. This is a loss. This is definitely a loss. I think sometimes we view it in fantasy terms where, because he wasn't the touchdown guy, Lamar Jackson steals touchdowns. So it's a loss, right? Lamar Jackson is going to run the ball. Of course Lamar has to step up. Baltimore will never get to where they want to go until Lamar truly becomes a good throwing quarterback. But that's also on Baltimore somewhat. They've never really given him the weapons there. You know, we know Andrews dropped some passes here. So it's a loss. Gus Edwards now saw that number one guy there, Justice Hill. Maybe they're going to sign somebody. You and I talked about it yesterday. Gurley would make some sense. Or when they cut down, maybe cuts are coming tomorrow by, what, 4 p.m. Every team has to be down to 53. So maybe we'll see some running backs shake loose there and they sign somebody. But it's certainly a loss here. As for this game, right now, this is probably a stay-away game for me. I sort of lean towards Baltimore, but not enough to put any money on it. It should be an interesting game. I don't know what to make of Vegas yet. I just don't know. I know their offense should be pretty good. That defense was a sieve last year. Yeah, it was a sieve. I don't know if they patched up enough holes there. And the offensive line worries me somewhat as well. Baltimore may have a field day getting the car. So right now this is a stay-away game for me, but I lean towards Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll the dice with John Gruden and the crew here. Home dog, expect a sellout crowd for the Raiders in this matchup. And if you're a Baltimore Raven fan, Rashad Bateman goes down. J.K. Dobbins, does that pressure affect Lamar Jackson, especially early on? They did have the number one ranked rushing offense last year. We'll be here all week. For George Kurtz, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.